NFR Extra is a weekly podcast that focuses on the Wrangler National Finals Rodeo and features icons that embody the rodeo and Western lifestyle. And now here are your hosts, Nevada Caldwell and Rockin' Robbie Hodges.
Mr. Hodges, these episodes just keep rocking and rolling. Here we are weekly, right? Weekly.
Yes. Can you believe this? I thought we were going to do this a couple times a month, you know, and just I was going to call it in, and you guys fly me out here. It's amazing. Thank you, Ryan Grownie and everybody out at the South Point for letting me stay there the whole time. Yep. Hospitality is always good there. Thank you. Now we get to talk to – this is sort of Champions Month. Let's just call it that. You know, I mean, we've got – This time we've got Zeke Thurston, and I'll let you try it.
Haven Megid?
You better get used to saying Megid, okay?
No joke. I think he corrected me on again. I can't get his name right.
It doesn't matter, but they got it on that check.
We're going to have to, right?
Yeah, because you're going to hear a lot of him. Haven Megid, what a great kid.
Yeah, I'm at short words for this guy because – I don't know if you out there listening are impressed by young people and the way they do things and when they're prepared and the way they do it, but to hear a kid like him and do what he's doing right now, getting after it, I mean, you kind of understand why he won and why he's won in the past. I mean, he already has a history of winning as a college kid and a high school kid. So I couldn't be any more impressed with what he shared with us, what his plans are. I'd tell you this, if I was the tie down roper, and no matter how competitive I am, that's a guy that I know that's going to be there to kind of
he's keep, in my rearview mirror.
Yeah, absolutely. He's going to keep that bar moving higher and higher. I don't think we're not even close to done talking about that kid.
No, you better get used to Megid. And I'll tell you what impressed me the most about him, MV, was he's in school. He's having some stuff with some teachers that are not going to be able to do this and that. I'll show you. Gosh, he was busy. And then to have a 21-year-old kid like that was investing money. Because he said, what are you going to do with that money? You know what I'd have done? I said, like, what money? I've already spent it in Vegas on Saturday night after the last round. You know?
Doesn't it show you where his head is on his shoulders?
Yeah, that's why he's going to be a champion.
Yeah, he's a very impressive kid. Hopefully you enjoyed that conversation. And then we get all Canada on you, right?
Yeah. You know, we're going to visit Zeke. Zeke Thurston, I've known his dad forever, in my years at the NFR. And he... I know his dad's got to be so proud of him, and you know, they jaw back and forth, and we talk a little bit, I mean, a good bit about the Bronx and the stuff like that, and, you know, and
I like
Benny.
The tidbits about him and Benny Butler and sons and his dad.
Big boy, right? You know, and you're going to enjoy that.
But think about this. When you see Zeke, he's a very mild-mannered looking guy.
Very much.
Very easy-looking dude, easy-talking guy.
Yeah.
But you start to understand where this kid and his pedigree is coming from, and he's not done, obviously.
Oh, no. We're going to get a few more.
Yeah, I think Zeke, once again.
Two's not enough.
These champions that we're talking to, you know, don't want to jinx them, don't want to get in their way, but guys like Zeke.
God, you don't jinx people like that. They're just going right by. Yeah. You know what I mean? They're just great. And that's what's so good about this month is you're going to get to finally sit down, and none of them are cookie cutter. That's what, you know, and I don't think you're going to think this interview is either.
Yeah, enjoy.
This is Braglin's Bull, the Rodeo News of the Week.
PRCA Stat of the Week. As reported in the Trinity University study, the San Antonio Stock Show and Rodeo produces an economic impact for San Antonio of more than $250 million. The 2020 Stock Show and Rodeo, which runs February 6th through the 23rd at the AT&T Center, will air on Cowboy Channel beginning February 8th. Garrett Tribble, who made the finals in 2016 and 2018, suffered a neck injury when he was bucked off of Rafter H Rodeo's left lane at the San Angelo, Texas Rodeo. The synergies between world-class athletes and award-winning artists align with the brand's global Wear with Abandon campaign, which exemplifies the opportunities that arise when cowboys of all types embrace adventure and extreme courage. The first installment, Comparing Scars, featuring Sage Kinsey and Danny Amendolo, who plays for the Detroit Lions, in the segment, the two swap stories about their craziest injuries, the closest calls, and discuss the thrill of competing at the championship events of their respective sports. To find this video, go to bleacherreport.com.
wherever you listen to the NFR Extra podcast, whether it be on iTunes, Spotify, iHeart, Google Play, or even YouTube. Hit that subscribe button so you don't miss an episode. And let us know what you think of this episode or any episode by leaving a comment. All right, Robbie. Man, these champions that we're talking to, this NFR rewind, if you will, just keeps getting a little bit different and different, right? You know, talk to a guy by the name of Zeke Thurston, two-time champ.
Yeah.
We talked to Emily Miller, right? She wasn't a champion, but she kept popping her head up there and making a run for that championship.
Oh, yeah. Well, she's still a champ. Yeah. My gosh, two rounds, first time out there.
Talked to a six-time world champ straight, Mr. Sage Kimsey.
Oh, every time. You bet.
And here we are, right? We're talking to a rookie, or at least he was a rookie, but a rookie that took the NFR by storm. And, you know, I don't want to mess up your name, but I'm going to say it anyways. Welcome to the show, Haven Maged. How did I do with that last name?
Maged.
Maged. All right. Okay.
I knew it. I was just going to hang you out. We do that quite often here. That's what you have when you have a sports pro and a rodeo clown together and a hot chick news girl. Yeah. She's kind of really wanting to ask you a bunch of questions, so we're gonna let her look at her.
Oh, I guess I'm going first. So you currently just got out of class because we had to schedule around that.
Yeah.
How is college rodeo and pro rodeoing at the same time, managing that schedule?
Well, I guess I did it last year, but it dang sure isn't easy having to go to the college rodeos and trying to schedule around the pro rodeos. I mean, like, for instance, I went to Kissimmee last year, and I had to fly back. I wrote my first calf and had to fly back for the college rodeo. And then after I roped, I had to fly back down there. So, I mean, it's just a never-ending process trying to figure out how to get to both fields. You know, it's hard because your coach expects you to be there, but your end goal is also to make the NFR and win a gold buckle and stuff. So it's just something you got to work around, and it's really not easy. It's a good thing our teachers are pretty reliable, and they'll work with you and stuff to try to make your schedule work while you're gone and stuff, missing school.
Right. Is that an issue a lot of times with teachers? I mean, because some teachers may not be rodeo fans as much, but we know
UNLV was not friendly for rodeo.
I remember that. Who was it? Was over here and had to take classes every day and then come right at the NFR and go back?
Oh, I don't know.
Yeah, one of the kids back in the 90s, I remember, or early 2000s. Yeah, yeah, actually. My daughter college rodeos, and she does everything on a computer. Goody's her coach, so he pretty much lets her do all the computer stuff over at East Mississippi. So, but can you do a lot of that online? Will they let you, or are you having to, face-to-face?
You know, I did – last semester was all online, but – this semester I have to go to school every day for 4 weeks, 9 to 4.
So it's
definitely hard. And then we got to go, and I have a 12-week internship where I'm doing it under a ranch where I live at and stuff. So it's just it's kind of a full-time deal and stuff. And one teacher told us the other day, first day of class, she said, you rodeo kids expect to be doing an internship and rodeo, and you guys aren't going to graduate. And I was like, well, hate to break it to you, but I'm probably going to be the one that
yes,
has to do it.
You're
going
to have it to do. Excuse me, I can't hear you. My world champion belt buckle must be reflecting off of your forehead, lady.
I want to interrupt this real quick. Haven, you're making me feel like I don't do much.
Right?
Like, I mean, you know, I got a job. I do well.
Oh, you know how these lazy college kids are. You know how they are. These kids today, they're lazy.
Shoot, I mean, seriously, you're creating a bar that doesn't exist for kids your age, which is fantastic, man. But here, let's back up to coming into the NFR. This is the part that this is an interesting story, because here you are, you're a rookie, you're a young guy, right? We're talking about college right now that you're attending, and you roll into there. What is this? 3 weeks before the NFR, did you have an accident? Two torn. What happened here? What? Paint that picture. What happened 3 weeks before the NFR?
Oh, so everybody doesn't want it to happen is what happened to me is 24 days before the first go round, I was practicing on a young horse. First calf I ran, Tyler Milligan was at the house, and first calf I ran and I turned around to make my young horse get back. Well, he ended up taking another stride and hit me, and it put all my weight on my right ankle, and it tore two ligaments in my ankle, and I had a high and low ankle sprain.
I've had those. That the is the worst.
You had the Tui injury.
Yeah. Oh, man.
Yeah, I couldn't even walk. I crawled up the stairs to my bed for 4 days.
Who was with you? Who did you say was?
Tyler Milligan was at the house.
Tyler was? Are you sure he didn't give you the Tonya Harding before y'all got the finals? You know? Whacked that old knee.
So what were your expectations going into the Thomas and Mack then? I mean, you're coming off of an injury.
I mean, my expectations were the same. You know, it was hard getting to watch everybody, all your buddies, post their videos on Facebook, getting ready for the national finals and stuff like that. And I was literally sitting on a couch, icing my ankle four to six times a day doing rehab twice a day. And it was long because I only got to run two cabs before I left for Vegas. And my horse got rode twice from the Canadian national finals to the NFR. So that's a month spread. And she only got rode twice. So it was a hard deal. You know, you just had to stay mentally positive. You know, you can sit there and get down on the couch sitting there real easy, but you have to remember why you're there and stuff, and why you're going there, what you've done all year and stuff, to stay positive.
Right. Did you feel like, oh crap, this has happened, I'm ruined now, here I am going to make my first NFR and I'm not going to be able to go?
Well, the first doctor told me, he said, you're going to be lucky if you get to rope. And I'm just like, when that doctor said that, I about cried, because you know, it's something you work for your whole life. And you know, I didn't bulldog at college rodeos in the fall semester because of this reason. I didn't want to hurt myself and have that, you know, something like that big of a deal. If I roll my ankle or something, then I can't compete at the NFR, and then I do it myself, practicing to get ready for it.
Oh man. Right. Did that little dog that's behind you, did it come with you to the NFR? I think it was in the room next to me at the South Point. I'm giving you crap.
Shut up.
It's okay. That's what we love about it.
That's perfect.
Hey, yeah, we don't cookie cutter, brother.
No. Look, Haven, we've had people on. Let's see. Fallon Taylor was literally competing. She was on a horse. We talked to Cody Johnson, music artist. He was literally
building fence.
Yeah, a fence out in his yard. So Cody, it just adds a lot more texture.
Somebody. No, I know. Exactly. Yeah, we love it. That's great. Yeah, I got to meet you this year at the autograph sessions there at the Mirage, and MGM. Yeah. Thank God that's the same property. But at the MGM there, you remember we were giving old Cajun a fit because he was watching the LSU game. And you got great traveling partners. I mean, obviously you and Ty, y'all had been going a bunch this year, hadn't you? And how was he after your ankle got hurt? I mean, what was his attitude to kind of get you back going? I'm sure he was supportive.
He's supportive and stuff, but nobody could do anything. It was pretty much in God's hands, you know. It was God's plan, really, if you think about it. If it wasn't for that injection I got, mm-hmm. you know, Fred Whitfield was the guy that got me that shot, and that chiro factor. Like, after I got that injection, because I couldn't walk for 4 days, when they gave me two injections, I could walk. Like, 2 days later, I was walking pretty dang good.
That had to be such a relief, though, to worry that long. 3 weeks.
So what?
That happened.
Yeah.
So, Haven, what do you do, being as young as you are, still in college, what do you do with $126,000 that you pulled in during the NFR?
Invest it.
Nice.
I invest so I have money later on down the rodeo, so I'm not a broke cowboy.
Nice.
You know, I want money. I invest it right now, so it's something I have later on down the road that it's going to turn around and make me money.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah, well, you best cattle or land, or you just kind of...
Yeah, just buying kind of, you know, quality over quantity is kind of what I've always said about everything in life. So I've been buying nice cows, and so I can sell embryos and stuff like that out of them.
Atta boy. That's good, because what'd you win? What was your year in total?
246.
I wasn't sure if it was 246 or 248. Hey, that first 110,000 or whatever it took for you to get there, that's gone, isn't it? Because it's about $1.10 for $1 per point, you know, to get there. And then that 126 minus the taxes, that's what you get to keep for the year, isn't it? It's never, people think, well,
yeah,
my God, he won 200,000. It takes that at least to win that, doesn't it?
Yeah, everybody's like, God, you made a killing this year. And I said, you just don't even know what the expenses were to get there.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah,
people don't understand that
right
in the real world. I mean, some people, if obviously if they're rodeo background and stuff, they understand it. But there's a lot of people that are like, gosh, dang, I can take a loan from you. I'm like, no, actually, I probably need a loan from you.
Yeah, the brokest guy in the world is 16th, isn't he?
Yeah.
He has a job next week.
So, literally. Hey, but I, okay. Clearly, you know, looking at your bio and understand, and it's short right now. You're building it. How did the College National Finals rodeo treat you here this past 2019?
The College National Finals?
Yeah.
Well, it was an awesome, you know, to be able to win it, you know, it was pretty cool. You know, you got the best of the best college kids there, and to be able to come out on top, it's no different than the national finals. To be able to come out on top of both of those, and they said I was one of the four guys in history to ever do it, and the first timed event guy, you know, it's pretty cool to have your name, you know, on that short list and stuff to be able to win the college finals and the world title in the same year.
Wow, that is amazing.
See, we were going to say that, but it was really nice hearing you say it.
Absolutely, it was. Were you pretty sure you had the finals made by the, I mean, that's early in the year, you know, what is it, June?
Yes.
So,
yeah,
I mean, where were you setting? I mean, because that's a little bit of an intimidation factor for everybody else also, you know, is, hey, this guy's fixing to make the freaking NFR, and I got a rope against him.
And he wins.
Yeah. I mean, how close were you back then?
I think I was fifth, but I didn't have it made. I had maybe 52,001 or something like that.
Right.
And then, 2 weeks after that, over the 4th of July, I had one of the worst 4th of July you could ever thought. I won $860 or something over the 4th of July out of 20 rodeos.
Oh, geez.
Yeah, I about went home. I was over rodeo, and I actually did go home for 3 days and went and checked cows and put my horse up and didn't touch a rope or anything. And when I left for the next week, rodeos, the next 2 weeks, my dad told me, he said, take one calf by one and take care of business here. You're out there for a reason.
Nice. Yeah, hence that $110,000 that everybody thinks you had in your pocket. That I promise you that $800 didn't cover your 2 days worth of fees and fuel, did it? So there you go, folks. There's your answer. That is amazing. God, you snuck up there pretty good, though.
Yeah,
you
had
50,000,
right?
And then the fourth, you had $50,850 that made the NFR. You must have had one hell of a fall.
Yeah, after that, you know, actually, the first rodeo back after the 4th of July when my dad said that I had the best calf, and I really didn't know it. They didn't have a whole lot of information on them, and shoot, I broke the barrier, and I was just like, oh, God. You know, it's just hard, and then I didn't draw good at Colorado Springs, and then after that, it finally turned around, and I started drawing stuff, and heck, it shot off from there.
Yeah, I remember at Colorado Springs, me and Boyd had a bet. You know, we were doing the old 9 seconds and under bet. So you owe me a steak because I lost. I had you. It wasn't your fault. You didn't
have bring me a better calf, and I'd have done better. I promise.
I know. I think I said something about his kicking SOB.
I'll tell you what. Here, listen to Haven. So we've gotten to interview quite a few folks, right? And definitely world champions.
Sure.
Guys like Trevor Brazil. You know, my fave, the Beavs, Joe Beaver. And you're off to a pretty good start here, Haven. I it's not just because of we're talking that you're a champion times two in 1 year, one college, one pro, but it's how you carry yourself. I mean, just the answer of what'd you do with your money? You're like, I'm investing, man. I mean, you got a young championship mindset already.
At 25, yes, he does.
I would say that the tie down world has a, I know Trevor just stepped down, but geez, man, it sounds like there's another guy that might be stepping in the way.
There's a few more gold buckles in his future, to say the least.
Yeah, and you'll be able to afford to go. I'm proud to hear that.
Yeah. So, what are your plans for this year, 2020? What do you got going on? You healed up from the ankle. You got a gold buckle. What's going on for 2020?
Do it again. That's the plan. Try to do what Trevor Brazil does, go back and try to win more gold buckles and set new records and stuff like that. You know, I want to I'm going to enter the steer open a little bit, and I'm going to head up in Canada and stuff. So, you know, I want to be one of the – I want to win the all-around. That's something I really want to set myself up towards. And, you know, I feel like I got a great team of horses right now and stuff like that. I got good young calf horses that'll be able to split runs up on my good mare and stuff, and my big black gelding, he'll be back for the summer. I can't wait to have him back. So I feel like I have a great team of horses, and it's going to help me out throughout the year where I don't have to just haul one horse, and then I can compete in the steer open and stuff like that.
Right. Well, would you do us all a favor, though, about November? Would you not try to back the slack off of him, please? Because I don't think you can handle that twice.
No ankle injuries.
Hell, I don't know. It may work for him. It may come over and whack your ankle right before the NFR.
But let's rewind back to NFR a little bit. Consistency. How did you manage to keep your mentality the whole time of this event? I mean, there was so much going on your first finals.
Yeah, I guess it kind of was all a blur, you know. You got out there the first couple of days, and you're excited to get to be out there and stuff like that. And then once you had to start autograph signings, I felt like it was just a routine. We showed up at the convention center, signed. I'd go take a nap for an hour and a half, and then go to the arena and get my ankle worked on and get my horse worked on at 5 o'clock. You know, it just felt like a routine out there. And it kept me busy because I'm a very busy person. I don't like to sit in one spot. So I also get to be thinking about stuff. And so I felt like being out there and their sponsors keeping you busy and stuff, it kept my mind off roping. And then when we got the draw, that's when I started focusing on what I got to do and what I need to do with my calves that I drew.
Going back into Ty Harris a little bit, how was it like having not only a competitor that's your good friend and traveling partner, but he kind of started off rough and then had a big turnaround in the middle of the finals?
Yeah, no, Ty, he's a great friend of mine, and he ropes amazing. He's so fast and stuff like, and, you know, he started off, and, you know, where nobody ever wants to do that, especially if it's your first NFR, you know, you just want to get your first one down and stuff like that. Well, he started off a little rough, but, I mean, I wasn't too worried about him because he knows what to do. We have each other's back all day and year-round and stuff like that. So I knew he's a threat wherever you go, and so I knew he was going to do just fine.
Right. So we've been asking this all week about each, you know, the bronc rider guys and the bull riders and stuff. As a rookie this year, of course, you were smoking them, so they're probably all mad.
Yeah, right.
But do they, down at that end of the arena, do they give you a fit for being a rookie? I mean, do they make you do some stupid stuff and pranks?
Do they haze you at all?
Yeah.
No, they're pretty good about everything, you know. You'll hear the old guys every now and again, you damn rookies or something like that. But they're good, you know, everybody's pretty dang good friends. So just to be able to, like, guys like Shane Hanchy and stuff like that, you know, he helped Ty and I enter and stuff a little bit this summer, you know, just to have older guys that have been down the road and stuff like that know how to enter, you know, that's a big deal for us rookies. Yeah. And, you know, Ty wasn't a rookie, but he was 2 years ago.
Right.
So he knew how to enter pretty good, but, you know, there's a couple times we needed help. And to be able to call up them older guys that have been to the NFR for a day, for 10 years or something like that, you know, is honestly pretty awesome, and they'll help us out and stuff. So it means a lot to me to be able to have guys that want to help you out.
That's so funny to hear Shane not being a rookie, because he looks like he's 20, you know.
You know, you brought up Shane, because we follow him and we engage a lot on social media. Just bring this up, but so he made a obvious, clearly he's a Louisiana guy, right? And super excited about LSU.
Yeah.
Well, he had made a comment. I don't know if it was on one, like a SportsCenter post or somewhere on Twitter. And one of the fans called him like a goat roper or something like that. Oh my goodness.
And if you could
see the fan, all the fans jumped on it, and it was just hilarious when you understand social media and understand how something can spiral, you know, left or right in a conversation. Yeah. He's like, man, I'm just trying to show my fandom here, and this dude's calling me out as a goat rover. Like, it was just a conversation that kept playing out.
Yeah.
But it was fantastic.
Yeah. That's funny, because actually he could be a goat roper, an antelope roper, both of you guys. Anything that moves, rabbit roper. Don't let him fool you. He really is.
So, hey, Haven, let's go back to your emotions. We're talking about the NFR. you know, and it's weird to say like, oh, I've been coming to the NFR 5 years and finally I get it. But you get there, your first year, you win it. But that first night, do you want to say that that injury kind of helped distract you and create more focus? I mean, where were you on that first night and thinking about what's getting ready to go down for yourself before you, before you came out of the box?
What I told myself before I rode in that box is to keep it simple. You know, it's something we've done day in and day out. We've worked our whole life towards. So there's no reason to change it just because it's the national finals. Because if you go to changing stuff, you know, that's when you start messing up. And so, you know, I just told myself to keep it simple and, you know, score, ride rope, take care of business. And, you know, I felt like that. That was my mentality the whole week, is what I told myself every day before I rode, is just score, ride rope, and just take care of stuff like that. So I felt like when I did that, that it just, I kept my nerves away. I try not to get nervous, but I felt like when I told myself all that stuff, it was easy, and I never thought about it, and I just went out and did my job.
Mm. Yeah, and that, we hear that so much from some guys.
From veterans, Robbie, not from
I know, and I'm trying to think, yeah, college I'm thinking kid. This rookie's going to Jedi mind think this to death, you know? And
no.
But no, he hasn't.
Man, Haven, stay injury-free as best you can, man, because you got some fans in here. This is you're a well-put-together guy, man.
You sure are. There is hope for the 25-year-olds in the world.
I mean, seriously, you got a lot of good stuff going on. So do you, knowing that we've talked to some guys in the past, a number one, like a Trevor Brazil, how he would talk about his season, do you have a good plan going in for the year and how you're going to attack it, or how many rodeos you might want to hit? I mean, do you have a number of rodeos you want to hit?
We'll go to, you know, it all depends on how the winter rodeos go. Obviously, our rodeo count moved from 85 to 100, so that's something, you booty know, we'll probably go to 100 if we need to. If we got to use them, let's hope not. We don't have to use all 100, but it all depends on how you do it the winter. That's kind of how you set your summer up and fall and stuff like that, to decide where you have to go and stuff like that. So I feel like after the winter, we'll know what we have to do and stuff to get to back to the Yellow Arena.
Right. Where are you going this week? Are you, I mean, what's your plan for the week?
I just go to college all week, and then I got Fort Worth this weekend.
At least you got a close one. Maybe you can make it back to class for that lady. Maybe you'll have her that day. You going to Denver? You know, I mean, you've been to Denver so far.
No good on my first one. I'm placing. I might win a little check in the second round. Didn't draw very good in the first one, but that's rodeo. I mean, that's why there's 100 of them.
That's exactly. That's why I'm glad they give you 100 now. But
yeah.
Sorry about your truck.
Yeah. I'll tell you, Haven, this has been good, man. You know, we don't want to drag you out. I'm sure you have, I don't know, man, something to study or write. You got a full plate, so I'm sure you got plenty to do once you get off the phone here with us. But I got to tell you, man, thank you for coming on. This is...
Yeah, man, what
impressive.
Yeah. Great guy to talk to.
We're very proud of you, and we love it when the new guys come in there and do good. I mean, that's such a... Even in our business, you know, with the clowns or whatever, you know, the new bullfighters come in, we're always proud to see a new guy, and especially a class act one. And I appreciate this interview.
Seriously.
Kid's brilliant. Holy cow. So you'll always have a place to get in the cold beer to get out of the fridge anytime you see me there, buddy. So y'all come on by.
Yeah, Haven. Well, thank you for coming on.
You bet. Thank you, Haven.
Yeah.
All right. Take care.
I appreciate it.
All right, man. Good luck with the rest of the season.
Thanks, sir. I appreciate it.
Okay.
Yes, sir.
Catch you later.
See ya.
Looking for tickets to the Wrangler National Finals Rodeo? StubHub is the official secondary and fan-to-fan site of the rodeo. Fans can buy and sell their tickets through a safe and secure online marketplace. Visit nfrexperience.com.
Robbie, 2020 is looking pretty good.
Yes, it is. Man, we've had some good interviews this week so far. It's going to be awesome. And we get to do my favorites. The world champs, you know.
Yes.
The fair weather friend I am. But, you know, it's so cool to get to talk to my rough stock buddies. And this one we're talking to right now, it's going to be a fun one because he's cool.
Yeah, and he's fresh off championship. And then he's got another one that he'd added to the trophy shelf, won quite a few money. He's starting to make his kind of adding his name to the lore of NFR.
It is. And, you know, we've interviewed some old bronc riders, you know. We did out in Vegas, you know, for the NFR stuff with Brad and
Clint Johnson.
And Clint Johnson, yeah. So This one would probably be a little exciting. Yes. I had to guess, but 25 years old.
Yeah, he's young and he's got some money and he's doing well.
Yes, sir.
We want to welcome to the show Zeke Thurston. Zeke, welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Glad to have you, buddy.
Glad to be on here.
Hope your winter's doing good. I know it's rodeo season again. Everybody's getting out there on the road, so we're gonna visit a little bit and let everybody know about the cool guy you are. So anything, you know, here we go.
Yeah, Zeke, real quick. Yeah. So we're rewinding with a lot of the contestants from the past 2019 Wrangler National Finals Rodeo. Clearly, you came away with some hardware. Let's go back to just real quick then. What's a moment that sticks out? You know, we got 10 nights of some great action every night. What's a moment that sticks out to you on your championship run last year? What's something that sticks out to you?
Oh, I mean, I would probably have to say the ninth round was, you know, for me, that it kind of stands out a little more. Just because I won that round and I had a horse that doesn't get rode very often and gets a lot of guys down, can't check his spur out, and you know, just really bucks a good horse, and you know, I kind of had to step up to the plate and do something, you know, big to kind of set myself, you know, far enough ahead that they couldn't get me, and you know, I did. I won the round, and you know, that was just pretty cool, you know, because it's one of them deals, you know, when there's a lot of pressure on the line, or you know, there's a lot riding on something, and you gotta go out there and let it all hang out, and you know, that's what I did, and that's the way it worked out.
Well, for those that are rodeo fans, you know, and saddle bronc fans, what horse was that?
Sunglow. Kirsten or Vold Rodeo.
Oh yeah,
nice.
Been the finals in the bareback riding and the bronc riding.
Yes,
and,
sir. I remember.
Just a really good horse.
You ain't kidding. I bet she smacked you on the old back, didn't you, when you got over? Good job. Yeah. I'm here right now.
Yeah, they were pretty excited.
Yeah, did you give her the bottle of Pendleton or not, or did you keep it?
Yeah, well, they get their own.
I don't care. I bet she wanted to keep it too. She's fun.
Yeah, yeah.
So Zeke, you're a two-time world champion. How does it? And this is a conversation Robbie have been having with a lot of, let's just call it, multiple champions, not anyone that just won once. We ain't got time for them, right? We got to talk to ones that, like, yeah, we got to have two or more, otherwise we'll talk to you. But anyways, they've always talked about there's each run is different. You know, us kind of this folks on the sidelines just assume what goes through your head and everything, that it's all the same. What was the difference between where you were back in 16 and where you were 19? Did they feel the same? I mean, what? Give us a little compare and contrast of like how those went down, and were they similar, or did you feel it when you did like you did in 16?
Yeah. Like the end result's the same, I guess, but both mine are completely opposite, really. You know, in 16, I had a good year. I come in in the top four, I think, you know,
right
in the world, and I had a good finals, you know, but there was a couple guys ahead of me that were quite a ways ahead of me, you know, and coming to the 10th round, I had a nice horse and stuff, and coming into the 10th round, like, I was gonna, you know, I was gonna end up second in the world, but there was quite a few things that were gonna have to go my way. You know, there was one or two guys needed to get no scores, and then I had to be enough points and in the round to place to win enough money, and also be a high enough score to pass another guy in the average. And so it was just one of them deals. Like, you know, it didn't really dawn on me that it was going to happen, and it did. You know, and I kind of come from behind, and like in the pre-show that year, I don't even think they were talking about me having a chance to win it, you know. And then I come out of nowhere and won it, and that was pretty exciting. But this next one, I had a great year, and you know, I went in second behind Roger, and me and him had quite a bit more money than everybody else, and then from about the, you know, third or fourth round, I passed him, and then so I was in the driver's seat with the target on my back, and I'm gonna probably say that one's a lot harder than being harder being chased than being the chaser.
I've heard that a lot of guys say that. You know, I mean, you get pressurized. And I've been down there in that locker room with them guys, and they know how to get unpressurized pretty good. That's always a fun locker room down there, you know.
Oh yeah, yeah, and it's awesome, you know. But it is easy to, you know, put unnecessary pressure on yourself and stuff. But at the end of the day, it's just bronc riding, and that's, you know, it's the same horses you've been on all year, and you do it because you love it, and it's dang sure, you know, they're two totally different situations and things, but I wouldn't have it any other way.
Oh, I got you. So this year was, do you think the ninth round horse was, now is that the old Sorrel, or which horse was that again? Now you were talking about the
Sunglow. She's kind of a bay horse.
And, okay.
She's been around for a while. They don't buck it a lot. Throughout the year, it kind of gets the minimal 8 trips or whatever, but every time it is out, like, it bucks hard and bucks, you know, I think that was a eliminator round or semi-eliminator round, and, like, there's a reason they're in there, you know, and
right. What was your other eliminator horse? I guess that was that fourth round or third? What round they do? I know the bareback ride.
Second round was an eliminator round, and then...
Dang, they clean y'all up early. Yeah. What was it, like, you got? Absolutely. What horse did you
break
have?
Break an egg in you.
Yeah, go ahead and get that out of the way. And yeah. That's a mean pin.
You know, the first eliminator round I had, I had one of Pete Carr's Old Town Road.
Mm-hmm.
And I got a no score. I don't even remember what I had in the fourth round. Somewhere in there, around 7, I think that might have been the eliminated round or semi-eliminated round, whatever. It would have been semi-eliminated round. Maybe I had Get Smart, the bucking horse of the world.
Yeah.
And I won the round on her, or him.
Mm-hmm.
And then I won the first round, which was just an off round, and then for the nice horses. And then I won the 7th round on Get Smart and won the 9th round on Sunglow.
Oh, that's cool. You know, we were talking to some of the old, you know, we all have our heroes, and, you know, of course I have mine in the clown barrel, but like the bull riding heroes and bronc riding heroes, who were some of the guys that, you know, like when you used to watch the old Heston tapes or the old NFR, because we all have those VHS tapes. You probably don't. You probably got them on DVD now at 25, but who was always the guys?
When I was little, my...
Uh-huh. Your dad.
My grandma, she would record them and then put them on VHS.
Right.
Because we didn't have TV, you know, and she'd mail them to us.
That's so cool. Who was your favorite?
Growing up, I can't remember not, you know, loving right. rodeo. Like, every event, didn't matter
right.
what it was. And, you know, but as far as the bronc riding, like, my dad, he had a great career. And,
yes, he did.
You know, went to the NFR 6 times. Every little kid looks up to their dad. And then he got to go through the era of, you know, he rode with Clint Johnsons and McCormick's and Bowers, and to have, you know, guys like that be your dad's friend is, you know, you can't help but look up to them.
How was that getting them cool guys to come pick you up from school?
it's awesome. It's one of the coolest things you'll ever get, you know, because when you're that young and I see it now with the other kids, but I mean, to me, those guys are Superman, you know. And
oh gosh, yeah.
You know, to get to be around them, you know, I was just fortunate enough to have a dad that rodeoed and knows what it takes, and you know, kind of what the effort and the behind the scenes time that goes into it. And you know, I just a lot of people don't get that, and I was lucky enough to have that. But
oh yeah, well, see, that's so funny. Like, I'm talking about, you know, coming to get you out of school or checking you out so you go to the rodeo. I bet they told Billy, said, son, you can't have him. Get back in class. You know, he's all 4'6". Sosby used to tell me, Cody Sosby, great barrel man, he used to be so thrilled when he was in Fort Smith that Denny Flynn used to come check him out of school when they needed, you know, when they needed to go somewhere. And he was like, he was always staying around there getting him. And he was, that was always so much fun to have a hero like that. and to get him out of school. Sure. Heck yeah. Where did you go to high school? I mean, where were you in Nebraska? Or
we grew up in Canada. No, we grew up
my Canadian,
my mom's from Canada. My dad's from Nebraska.
Right. So yeah, I knew your dad was.
In Canada. Yeah. We grew up there. And so I went to school in our little hometown there, Big Valley.
Mm-hmm.
And from kindergarten to ninth grade, I guess. And it's maybe has 100 kids in it. And then from there, we had the bus to a bigger town.
Zeke, but is it different? Like, so Canada, all right, you're a Canadian. Fans are crazy about you guys, by the way. You know, any Canadian wins during the NFR on social media, there is a pouring of, like, just constant outcry of, like, their fandom of you guys. Do you feel that? I mean, where do you feel that on the social media? Do they reach out to you? Do the Canadian fans, I mean, do you have a connection there, or is it just something that just, it's kind of there, just like any other rodeo fan?
No, like, you definitely notice it because it's, you know, I always say, like, you're riding for representing the whole country instead of just the state or something, you know, and, you know, to be able to go down there and do that on the big stage, it's pretty special. And then to have the, you know, me, Jake, and Dawson all travel together, all three from Canada, and then to have us all, you know, just to make the NFR is one thing. And then, between the three of us, you know, we win 6 out of the 10 rounds and, you know, won over 400,000 between the three of us. That's pretty special.
That's a nice van load home, man.
But I'm not kidding. Like, Robbie, I know you don't see this on the social media site for us very far, but any Canadian, and definitely when Zeke, and he's 1-16 and 19.
Well, he's a good boy, too. Everybody
absolutely
likes him.
But, yeah, like, the fans let us know he's Canadian. Canada's won. What's up? I mean, I'm not kidding. It's cool. It's just a lot of pride. We don't get that from other areas.
You know, that is amazing.
Or countries.
Yeah, exactly. And they're proud of them up there. Mm-hmm. Man, the horses buck up there, you know.
And Canada's been known for raising and producing really good bronchos and really good bucking horses. And, watch some of the best bucking horses, you know, in the world come from Canada. And lots of them do. And, you know, that's kind of what they're known for, I guess. And
big old feather foots.
Seems like people up there, they love bronc riding, and
of course they do.
You know,
y'all made
first bronc matches and everything like that were held in Canada and things like that. So it's bronc riding territory, and they like it.
Right. So you've been to 5 NFRs, 2 world championships. We asked this to Sage just today. I know we've lost Wade out of there this year, you know, and he was the wild one in that bunch, you know, and the fun and doing all the stuff. Not saying y'all are awesome, too. I love doing our autograph sessions with y'all. I always laugh, two knuckleheads. But we have a good time doing that, by the way, don't we? And, but, like, down there, see, you're always going to have a rookie or two, you know, that's it's his first time. Do y'all bet? Do y'all, you know, how do y'all handle the rookies down there? Like, the bull riders, you know, they make them do stupid stuff, and I've been in that locker room. It's pretty wild down there.
We don't haze them. We don't haze them near as bad as the bull riders. They're kind of hard on them, but we just make them bring a case of beer the first round. And
do you pound some beers? That's great.
There was probably 3 or 4 of them first time NFR guys. You know, that's kind of unheard of in the bronc riding really, and so it was cool. It was a lot of fun. You know, like, there was Colt and Mitch and I can't even, you know, there, but it was awesome to see. And, you know, I can, you know, it seems like I, you know, I was in their shoes, you know, and you get there and you're just starstruck, you know, and there's a lot going on, you know, and, it's a lot to take in. And, you know, to see them guys be there and do that, and you're like, you know, I'm glad I don't have the,
right,
first time jitters like these guys do.
Oh yeah, well that's so funny that.
But I mean, they're over it, and shoot, you know, this year's a new year. They'll be gunning for you.
Yeah, they will, and then they'll remember what you did in the locker room, won't they? But you got to understand that locker room is that's where all the jitters are knocked out, or you know what I mean? And the guys like Skeet and the guys and back, you know, they used to do, and now with Zeke. They always used to, you know, I used to hear these stories about them hiding their saddles or, you know, and
Oh yeah, they'll still hide your boots. So 20 minutes before you get out of your horse, and you can't find your boot or something. Spur, you're losing your mind, and
yeah. It's a little easier than on the bareback ride.
If it was any other rodeo, nobody would worry about it.
But. Yeah, why here?
So, Zeke, clearly you've had some fun in Vegas for the past 5 years. What does Vegas mean to you? You know, you're coming away with two championships. What does Vegas mean to you now, prior to when you won in 16? Does it have a different meaning to you?
I'm just like incredibly lucky, you know, and truly blessed because I get to do what I love every single day and be able to make a living at it. And, then to win, you know, a world title, you know, that's unheard of for a lot of, you know, a lot of guys don't get to experience that. And to be able to do it twice is, you know, it's incredible.
So five times you mentioned your pops, six times. Do you think about that at all? You know, tying dad or like passing him up? Is that something that ever crosses your mind a little bit?
I double him up.
Nice.
Are you going to rub it in too? Pretty good.
Yeah.
Heck yeah. I can hear him now. There's two ways to do this, Zeke. There's the wrong way and my way, son. And let me tell you, you're not doing it right, dad. I've got about six more than you.
So, and the reason
you're not going to miss that opportunity.
Yeah. I think it was the first time I made the NFR. Like I was pretty young and never been there before. And we were at the South Point for one of them deals, and maybe the back number deal or I don't know. It might have been a sponsor party or something. We're walking through the hallway going somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
My dad and mom was with me, and Benny Butler walked by in the hallway, and he stopped us. We were talking to him. He shake my dad's hand, and he said, "Skeeter, man, you raised a hell of a boy here." He said, I can't throw him off. I used to throw you off all the time. My dad said, "Well, yeah, Benny, that's because that's back when you had something to buck."
Oh, boy. Hey, big boy. Hey, big boy.
He didn't know what to say. He started stuttering.
Gosh. Big boy, let me tell you right now, big boy.
That's fantastic.
That's him. Speaking of old Benny, have you had the distinct pleasure of Killer B yet?
I've been on Killer B twice. Had it there in Tucson.
Oh yeah.
Set the Xena record on her there.
Oh.
And then I had her again at the NFR, and she bucked me off at 7:09 on the clock. And
oh man,
to be a lot.
Yeah, they'd had to call over and get more points.
I've been on her twice. And twice is probably enough for me.
Yeah. She's got a field. Well, what we call it. There's a drop, and then there's Killer B drop.
She's incredibly, that's an amazing horse.
Yeah. Do you set a different game plan for something like that? Obviously, you know, with that caliber of horse, I know because you're fast footed. When I watch you and Wade and them guys, I see a lot of fast footedness, you know, and getting them back there. But that's got to be weird waiting on that because it's got to seem like it drops for 12 minutes.
Yeah, like for her, like she, you know, the last time I got on her, or when I had her there in Vegas, she bucked me off the whistle. And, my plan was just to get her spurred out and then just get rolling.
Mm-hmm.
And I did, and I started her. It was going awesome. And it was feeling really good, but she was dang sure bucking and dropping out of there. And she kept picking her head up a little higher every jump, and that's just, she finally kind of rolled me out the back, and I lost the stirrup, but, you know, that's them kind of horses. There's just no brakes. You just it's wide open.
Did you get a smack on the back? Hey, big boy, good job.
Well, no. The first time I had her was one of my favorite stories too. Because I went to Tucson and made the short round, and then I had her. I didn't sleep a wink the night before, whatever, and Benny didn't know who I was because it was my first, my rookie year or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And I think he kind of, you know, put the two and two together that Skeeter was my dad or whatever. But he thought there was no way that I'd ever ride that horse. he came up to me. He's like, bear down now, son. This horse is a real deal, you know.
Sort of, something like that.
Trust me. I know. But, I remember, and she dang sure she bucked really hard. I rode her, I was 90-something, and Nice. Yeah, setting an arena record, won Tucson and all that. But yeah, it was pretty cool just because Benny, you could tell there he was like, there's no way this can happen.
No.
Hey. And a rotor, and he was quite impressed.
Zeke, being from Canada, where's a good place you like to rodeo in the States besides Vegas and the NFR? Where's another good hot? You know, I mean, it's not your favorite, but like, what's another hot spot you like to rodeo at?
I like all the rodeos. Like, it's like a seasonal deal. Like, it's really, you know, it's quite fun because like, I like coming down, you know, to like most of the winter rodeos were down here, like Texas and stuff.
Florida.
And,
yeah.
Get away from the cold at home and stuff. Yeah. And these rodeos, you know, most of them are indoor and whatnot, but they're awesome. Great rodeos, and you can win a lot of money in the winter. And then in the springtime, I'll go home usually, and that's when things in Canada are kind of starting to kick off. And so we'll go to a few, you know, through April, May, and I guess we go down to California, go to Clovis and Red Bluff and Redding and whatever else is going on. And then in June, we'll go to Canadian rodeos. Be going to a few of them up there, and then we'll go to Reno and then Pinoca, and then we're just full on over the 4th of July. Then you wear yourself out rodeoing over the 4th, and then we'll go back to Calgary.
Yeah.
Freshen up and hang out in place for, you know, a week or so. And then after that, then there's the weekend after Calgary. It's just as big as, you know, or bigger than the 4th when you're going to Cheyenne and then Spanish and Napa and Salinas.
Yeah, those are the good
15 of them things going on, you know. So we'll go from there, and then, whatever, you get into August and stuff, and I just kind of, August, I don't ever really know where we go in August.
Yeah, I got you.
You know.
Do you hit Ellensburg?
Sometimes we go to Kansas, sometimes really we go to, you just never really know where we're at in August. Right. But then in September, you know, you start the Northwest run, and that's all up there in Washington and Oregon, and I love them rodeos too. So it's, I mean, you don't ever get bored because you're going to a different place all the time. And
that's true.
Right.
There's good rodeos everywhere.
Now, when you do that, who's jumping in the truck with you? I mean, give us an example of who. I know you probably got one or two, but I know you got to split it up some, especially in the busy times, because, you know, it's easier to get traded alone a lot of times in a bud, but. Who,
yeah, like, so when it's just, like, when we're traveling, it's just, I like to just keep it three guys. It's easier to handle and easier to get around.
Uh-huh.
You know, four guys in the rig, that's a lot of bodies.
Yeah, and it's a lot to, exactly.
You know.
Who is that? Yeah, I mean, who's your favorite to, I mean,
I go with Dawson Hay and Jake Watson. That's who we went together last year, all year or whatever. And then and we'll keep it the same this year.
I got you. That's
but nice. Like when I first started, I went with Taos Muncy.
Oh boy!
And he kind of gave me my start, and I rodeed with Taos for 4 years. I mean, last year was the first year I never rodeed with him, and I went with Isaac a little bit, and Tyrell Larson, and Clay Elliott quite a bit, and then Clay got hurt, and Tyrell he got hurt, and. He was just staying a little closer to home and stuff.
Well, he's earned his, you know. He'll enter around, but.
Oh, yeah, for sure. And there's a couple of younger kids from down there by him that wanted to go, so he's going to take them on the same thing he did for me. So, but anyways, yeah, Clay got hurt, which was a bomb. So then it ended up being me and Hank and Dawson, and, man, we did good. I had fun. It was great.
Well, just you know, we're going to be a week out. So what – give everybody kind of an idea where you're heading in the next month. Let's just see for the person that doesn't get what we're doing. I mean, you're – right now it's not enter me on page 22 and 23, everything, you know. But, it's pretty select. Give us an idea where you're heading.
Yeah, like from here we'll go to Fort Worth. I'll go to Fort Worth in a couple of days. And then they got a similar thing on the gate. Sometime in there.
Mm-hmm.
And then we'll go Rapid City, I guess.
And
they got Extreme Bronx up there and then the rodeo. And then we'll just fly back. Then that's when Fort Worth semifinals and short round is. We're in San Angelo, same day as Fort Worth short round. And then we start up in San Antonio. We're there for 3 days, 4 days.
hopefully Angelo short round, and then yeah, somewhere in there we'll kick over to Tucson probably, and then the American and Houston, and then San Antonio short round, and you can, seems like you can go to about 15 rodeos is all that you'll get on, 50 head of horses. You,
yeah,
you know, lots of horses at one rodeo.
Right, so Houston, yeah, and then, right. What do you think about these new formats at some of these like that, Houston and some of those? I mean, has it been advantageous for you, or has it been, you know, or is it more of a hassle? Is it easier? I mean, you know, with these progressive rounds and flights and whatever they call it.
Yeah, it kind of just gives a guy, you know, more chances, you know, whereas like, you know, it's where they progress off the money one instead of like your average score or something.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's, you know, it's easy to get, say, a good horse and you jump out in your 86 and win around, and then these two horses, you know, I mean, you know, you never know, you know, you might be 76 on your next two. And, you know, so if they go off an average score, it's, you know, you're probably going to be a lower guy. And where if they go off money, say, you know, you know, in San Antonio, you're probably going to, you know, progress to the next semifinal.
Oh, that's thinking outside. That's not typical because most of the time it's averages get you there.
A wrong way about it, but I get both ways, but it's, my job is just to go and ride Bronx the best I can.
So. Let them tell you how you did. That's exactly. And I fully believe that. And that's great.
So Zeke, new season earnings last year, $347,000 and $56, right? That's some coin right there, right? But as I see,
it's pretty cool. I set the record in Canada and the CPRA up there. Mm-hmm. Won a Canadian title and then did it down here the same year. It's kind of special.
So, but your success, I mean, you've been kind of carrying yourself ever since you were way back in high school. Yeah. Three-time qualifier for the national high school finals, and then a qualifier for the college national finals. Does that experience back when you were going through that process, has that gotten you your mindset ready to be a professional and then obviously becoming a champion? I mean, is there a lot of the athletes talk about those times, those days being very important to their future. How were those days for you at high school, college, for it playing out for you, your success today?
Oh, for sure. You know, like it's, I'm a firm believer in going through the, you know, the stepping stones where you start out, you know, you start riding steers or whatever it is and then progress up, and then you go to high school rodeos and then you go to the college rodeos and then you probably buy your permit and you try to make a circuit finals. And I mean, that's the way I did it. And it's, you know, each step is, you're adding a new feather to your hat and gaining confidence and, you know, opposed to just jumping out of high school and trying to go be the little fish in a real big pond. And, you know, sometimes that can, you know, it can go good, but, you know, I've seen it go bad for guys and kind of break an egg in you and, you know, maybe make you feel like you're not worthy of being there when, you know, I feel like, you know, you take your time and go through the stages of it. And, you know, you just get experience and, you know, you just get more horses under your belt. I just don't see a negative to it.
Nice. Well, hey, you know what? I know this is a great conversation. Don't want to tie up too much of your time.
Yeah, man. Thank you so much. We've enjoyed every one of these guys.
Yeah, that's fantastic. Well, I think, correct me if I'm wrong, is Zeke our first Canadian rodeo athlete we've talked to?
Probably so.
I think so.
Yeah. That's a, you know, an actual competitor instead of a bullfighter or something. Heck yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
We'll have to get some more of them.
You're our first Canadian, Zeke. No, the more I think about it, he is. And champion.
Gosh, I love those rodeos up there. Oldstoberfest. I went to it one time. It was awesome. You remember that one over there in Olds, Alberta? Yeah. It snowed in September.
Yeah, that's not surprising.
Gosh, but who cares? It was so much fun. It's like a hockey game outside. Which he was talking about going up there in the spring, and I was like, August? Is that when y'all call it spring?
Do you mess around with a little hockey at all, like, Zeke, or is that something you leave for other Canadians?
I played hockey when I was, you know, in grade school and stuff, but I was I was a pretty average hockey player for as far as Canadian kids go. There's a lot of really good ones up there.
Yeah, it's tough.
Another guy.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, we've definitely gotten the Canadian hockey bug down here in Vegas with the Knights and everything else that's happened. It's been pretty awesome,
man,
actually.
Oh, man, it took off. It got huge in a hurry. It's
yes.
They're awesome.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it's fantastic.
It's a great experience team.
No, yeah. Very good.
Yes, indeed.
They done okay. Yeah,
yeah, they're all right.
Man, thank you so much, and I'm sure we'll see you out on the trail. You know, you always got a place to stay. If you ever need that couch, it's always there for you guys. So anytime.
Great. Appreciate it. You really bet. Do. Thanks yeah. for having me on here.
You bet, and thanks for just
– awesome.
Yeah, and I love the autographs with them guys. The old Bronc Riders are fun. Golly, they're so fun. So well, give us a holler, buddy, and we'll see you on the trail. They really are.
Heck yeah. You betcha.
All right, buddy. We'll see you
all
soon.
All right, Zeke. Thank you.
Take care.
Okay. Thank you.
You bye. Bet. Adios.
Thanks for listening to the NFR Extra podcast. And make sure to give us a rating and review on wherever you listen to NFR Extra. For more information regarding the Wrangler National Finals Rodeo, visit NFRExperience.com and follow Las Vegas NFR on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, or YouTube.
NFR Extra.
All dirt.
All rodeo.
All year. Gotta make it out the bank. And the ladies in the skin-tight wranglers and the cowboy.